Hi there and welcome to episode 152 of the ADHD Adults Podcast. I'm James Bryan, the man who would like to task switch to a different podcast, if he's honest. And I'm joined, as usual, by Dr. Alex Connor, the man who can multitask as long as the tasks combine churches and woodpeckers, and Mrs. ADHD, who, and I cannot say this clearly enough, cannot task switch ever. Alex, hi.
Good morning. Hello. How you doing? See, I'm task switching hellos, James. Do you see?
I do like the fact that just occasionally you remind me how much I hate your hellos. And this was a beautifully crafted.
You like the last two.
More beautifully delivered. Just, yeah, it hit the spot. Well done. And Mrs. ADHD, hi.
Hi.
Short and sweet, as always. How are you both? Mrs. ADHD first.
I think I'm okay.
Okay.
How about you?
No. No. And Alex, something don't care.
I like that. Phoning it in. Excellent. Thank you. I'm rough. Actually got a cold, but I feel excellent within the cold. You know what I mean? We've had two texts, actually. One is to say that I said intern metrics instead of metrics intern, and you let it go. And I think it was Johnny. It was disappointed in you. And another text from the intern guy saying both Spotify and YouTube subscriber numbers are increasing, but those are just made up words that are meaningless. It's like bleep bleep bloop bloop, utterly irrelevant. Don't know why I keep sending me these texts. Would you believe though that one of those metrics has sent us a letter, listeners?
Nope.
Well, that's right. Yes. It's from Robert from Kidderminster, James. It says, I listened to your episode on OCD, and whilst I have to be incredibly careful here because it isn't a laughing matter, James has obsessive compulsions, but unusually, he worries that if he doesn't do them, something bad won't happen to Alex. Oh, thanks, Robert. Let's not do any more jokes at my expense, okay? Not cool, Robert. Okay. We've had a real letter. Can I read it out?
No.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sam. Yes, it's from a Victoria McNaught or McNaught, I don't know how to pronounce it, sorry. And it says, firstly in capitals, I have ADHD. And then from not in capitals, or ad acta, as we call it in our house, which I like, ad acta. I just thought I'd email to say a huge, enormous thank you to James and Alex for their fab videos, oblique podcasts that have kept me going while I've been waiting for the dreaded assessment. I've just today been diagnosed with severe combined type ADHD at the ripe old age of 26 or 27, I forget. For years, I've known something was wrong or different. Having psychiatrists tell me I'm just hormonal or sad because my mum died literally laughing at me when I suggested bipolar prick. Now I'm reading that again for like the fifth time, and I'm fairly certain it's the psychiatrist that's the prick, because
no, what she would put the prick after the psychiatrist. You wouldn't say a psychiatrist said this to me, and then my mum did something really bad. Prick.
I think it is. Victoria, can you write in and tell us? I think it's the psychiatrist.
No,
I feel so validated. I'm so happy and also sad for little me who didn't have any help and thought she was just in rabbit ears, James, too much. I'm excited to start my journey and get titrated. But first, I'm going for a nap. Which sounds, I really like it. Thanks for all the awesome support you give with your podcast. They're honestly my favourite thing, and I can't wait to watch the ones with Sam, although I listened to one the other night, R.I.P. Robert from Kidderminster, and I shit myself because Sam's laugh woke me up.
Sorry.
That often happens in our house, actually.
You need to know more about the mum died literally laughing story. I mean, it's dreadful, and we're sorry for your loss, but we need to know more. As usual, Tarquin, the metrics intern, or intern metrics, James, has given me some information about a city we've listeners in. Sam, it's Amsterdam in the Netherlands. The metrics intern has told us a fact about Birmingham, or Amsterdam, James, either way, when we change the script. For those that may not know, Amsterdam's famous red light district is named after the city's tradition of using red traffic lights to signal the start of the annual Stroopwafel parade, where stroopwafels are thrown from windows to people in the streets. How that's romantic, isn't it? I'd love to see the red light district and their traditional.
I've been there. Waffle. I've been there at that time of year. It's just a wonderful, glorious parade.
Sounds magical.
It is. Anyway, this my justice sensitivity is triggered by the host being a dick to the co-host. How do you expect people to take information in when you act like this of a podcast? Is a tragedy in three parts. Yes, that's what I woke up to this morning, in fact.
Oh no, James.
I know. And
are you the host and I'm the co-host? That's the only bit I don't like about
it. I knew and I fucking knew you'd say that as well. I knew it.
You can't be everything, Alex.
Everything to everyone.
You know, and honestly,
it was an emotional over response. I was like that close to quitting, that close to just saying fuck it then, fuck it, I'll just give up. What's the point? I wrote the funniest reply, possibly the wittiest, driest, funniest thing ever written. Then thought, no, fuck it, don't waste that on her, and deleted the comment. And now I've forgotten what I wrote. It was actually, I know it was actually. Yeah, eviscerating. I mean, it probably wasn't funny.
Is this a reminder, James, that we need to just remind people, if they're not used to it, that there's a shtick where I make you say mean things about me because you're a genuinely lovely person in real. Is that what we have to do again? I don't like
it. I don't know. Honestly, I think people don't understand maybe that we're kind of playing characters to an extent. It's our real personality.
This is what we like.
Amplified. Of course it is.
But I think they're in a minority because we get so many people message to say, yeah. I can see how much you love each other because you wouldn't be able to do that otherwise.
For me, and I think I've mentioned this before, the slightly triggering thing is that most of the correspondence we get, and this isn't viewing through a negative lens, it's kind of objective, apart from the early stuff that says Alex and James because they don't know Sam is involved. And the stuff that I hear is often, oh, when Alex said that thing, you know, it was really profound. Or when Sam said that thing, it really helped me. Now, I do occasionally get people saying, James is so open about it and that helps. But if you don't get... I don't want praise and love and adoration, but I also don't want to be called a dick, you know, and to just feel like, well, that's my role is to be a dick. All the work that goes on behind the scenes and I'm just a...
Have you tried stopping being a dick then?
I haven't tried that yet. I will try alongside smoking and binge eating. Anyway, this is the longest intro ever. We choose a theme. Last time around was about ADHD and obsessive compulsive disorder. And in this episode, we're covering the other part of attention, which we clearly don't talk about enough. And that's not just on this podcast in general, and that's task switching. The three parts, as usual, include the William Topaz McGonagall of evidence, Alex the Psycho. He was the world's worst ever poet. Education
never,
monkey.
Never
talking,
heard of him.
Talking about, you Google him, talking about task switching, personal reflections on workplace discrimination. I mean, this script's all over the place, isn't it?
It is.
On task switching. And then finally, and just in terms of things that we've missed, a lot of people noticed that when I said, now then, Alex, show us your tip at the start of Just the Tip, no ding. And it was very, very deliberate. No ding.
I know.
I got complaints.
I'm disappointed in us.
They didn't call me a dick, but anyway. So, Alex, I'm going to just task switch to not listening. Tell us the science behind the thing that I'm about to do.
I will. Thank you very much. Right. I want you to spot the bits that I was going to do a really mean thing about James, and I'm genuinely nervous about it now because I sent James a text yesterday that said I plan how I can trigger James with texts about the thing that I know hurts him the most, and I've started to think he says more about me. So I want you to spot the bits that James has dictated today and used a transcriber. Yeah. If we've said it once, we've said it 1,000 times, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is a shit name, comma, because it doesn't really describe ADHD at all. Well, comma.
Oh. So I'm wondering what you were doing then. You've literally just said spot the bits that James did.
You've also, I mean, immediately, my bit, I can't do the ADHD thing. Oh, that's gone straight away.
No, Sam, it was me. Shush. I did it. Shush, James. Thankfully now, although you can spend the extra time learning how to blink so you look a little bit less undead. Have you tried that? I don't know. I've been so horrible to you. I can't help it. It's a disease. Getting back to the name, comma, although the word deficit does mean impairment in medical... You're going to quit. Please don't quit. I need you. Although the word deficit does mean impairment in medical terms where nobody lives, most everybody thinks therefore that deficit means lack. And so presumably adults with ADHD don't have enough attention, but we know that's not the case. It's obviously not true. A better way to describe the issues with attention that almost all of us have really is how we allocate our attention, to tusks, James.
I think you need a new dictation software, James.
Or accent, yeah. Sam.
Or yeah. Accent, yeah.
Yeah.
I've all the times for me to do this. It's obviously inappropriate.
It's perfect timing.
It is perfect. It's what we do. Mm. Right. So what we allocate our attention to, and they are tasks. Anything's a task, even thoughts are tasks if we choose to do. And switching our attention from one tusk to another, full stop. And unsurprisingly, this switching of attention from one task to another is called task switching.
Or tusk switching.
So task switching is usually the unconscious side of things. And sometimes we use it to mean what we should actually be saying, which is cognitive switching, and that's the conscious choice to change activities. And I'm fairly certain more than once I'm going to make that mistake in this, that a lot of people tend to say task switching when they mean both sort of consciously doing it and when we accidentally get distracted or change tasks. But strictly speaking, the task switching is the unconscious one.
Oh, okay. So just stopping something and doing something else.
Yeah, in essence, Sam, yes. James, it's not that hard, is it, to sum up in a sentence?
Not right now, no.
He wrote it for me, he wrote all of this.
Although it is more complicated than that. Here's a quick scenario. James is ordering blood products from a website called imadracula.com, for example. And then he remembers he's got to order a new coffin from Budget Dracula Coffins, I don't know, .com. Although, to be fair, he could have stayed at imadracula.com. They do excellent budget coffins. This requires a task switch. And if you look at the research, that it's probably the inattentive side of ADHD more than the hyperactive impulsive thing that can cause issues with this needing to change tasks. So in order for James, like all of us who are not Draculas, to task switch, actually, it's not that simple. Four things need to happen. So boring list clacks on. One, you have to stop the old one. Then you have to redirect attention. Then you have to start the new one. And then you have to fully engage to continue and finish the new one. There's four actual things. Each one of those is difficult, or can be, when you have, what was it? Ad acta. Because those are all executive functions. And as you may know, that isn't really our thing. You don't have to lack the executive functions to have ADHD, but many of us do. And sometimes physical, mental, and emotional effort is needed to do all those things. So let's quickly go through those four individually. Stop doing something sounds obvious, right? But it's bloody difficult to stop sometimes, especially if you're ADHD, but definitely not only that. Stopping a task you engage with, even if you're not hyper-focused on it, can be difficult and requires effort. It requires cognitive inhibition, so choosing to stop. Inhibition of all that effort, all that focus, and the thought you're currently applying to it, so you can stop. B, redirect. And that attention now has to shift to the other task. That can only happen once you've stopped it. And you have to know intellectually and emotionally what that task is. Three, redirect. This is where attention is now shifted. You've done that towards the other task. And again, you have to have stopped and known what to do. Start the next one. This is the Ron Seal does what it says on the tin. The tin. Does what it says on the tin.
The tin step.
For fuck's sake. Why am I doing this to you?
He did it to himself. You're just reading it out.
He did, really. Yeah. Yeah, I just reading it out. Thank you, Sam. That's the kind
marital
support that I think we all need. He does it to himself.
Ding.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good one.
Yeah. And he does what it says on the tin thing. And that's starting the alternative task. And then you've got to engage in the bloody thing, fully engaging. Equally tricksy is to fully engage with that task without drifting back to the previous one or randomly starting a third. And each one of those is a shift and they come at a cost. not a financial one, which is lucky, as most of us have loads of debt already because of the fucking thing. Switching attention between tasks can be rewarding, but switches cost. Control, energy, takes time. And in in muggles, I'm not saying that, in people without ADHD, where control is in general more efficient, the cost is still there, but it's probably and usually smaller energy cost. People with ADHD struggle more with that switching.
Do we have issues with the conscious task shifting too, though? I couldn't read that then.
Yeah, don't pretend you're not reading. But, you know,
it's probably badly dictated.
It probably is, yeah. Question mark. Great question, Sam. How hard is that, James? Not very hard. Conscious task switching is the one we think about, right? There is some evidence that people with ADHD are also slower at this. Interestingly, within the parentheses of, you know, psychoeducation, if you think about it, probably obvious, some switches we know about ages in advance and some just pop up. We can struggle with both the planned ones and the, oh, I'll do that, exciting, impulsive ones. The ones we have pre-warning over are called proactive switching, and the ones which pop up, like how a lid to a budget coffin pops up, James. You really should spend more on your coffins. It's a false economy. Those ones are reactive. And when we forget one of those planned switches, it becomes a reactive switch by default. So one of the most frustrating things. The link to inattentive symptoms. Again, that's shown that we tend to neglect preparation for those proactive switches in advance. So task switching then ends up being reactive.
Yeah.
Why though?
Good, great question for Woods, Brian Brains. It's Brian's, James, or Brains. As you always write in the script. So how it works and how it looks, the brain, that's the function and the anatomy. Frontal bit, frontal lobe, and the parietal bit, which is near the backy toppy bit. And those are lobes of the brain, or like lumpy bits. That's them that are usually involved in task switching and cognitive switching. And these brain areas are traditionally not as active in ADHD when you hook us up to one of those EEGs. And they're not as well connected. Also, our old friend dopamine, the neurotransmitter, needed for any kind of task switch, doesn't work as well in ADHD. Mm. In the brain, the electrical activity between the fronty bit and the near the backy bit at the top, called the, boringly, frontostriatal connectivity. This is James's favourite sort of topic, all these names. It's weird because people always think it's me that's thinking, but it's really you. Because I mean it out, they genuinely don't realise that you're an actual professor of medical science. Just brilliant, love it. Looks just thick dick, that man. Oh, God, I love it. I really do. And it's the electrical activity between that fronty bit, backy bit, that increases during task switching and is affected by differences in dopamine function. So in ADHD, poorer connection, poorer dopamine, differences in dopamine function, and that means less or weaker communication via those electrical impulses. It's a triangle of brain rubbishness that has an impact on everything we have to do every single goddamn day. Stop that task, switch to a new one, start the new one, engage with the new one. Sounds so simple, blooming nightmare for some, especially with ADHD.
It is. And on that note, we're going to take a break. Anyone that watched the episode where we didn't cut it, you'll realize that all sorts of things can happen in the break, like Sam showing her ass. And we'll be back in part two for personal reflections in a bit. Ass. Alex, hi.
Aight. What's up? Hello, Governor.
Welcome back to episode 152 of the ADHD Adults Podcast, where we're talking about ADHD and task switching. We're back now with our personal reflections on task switching. James, do you want to go first? Because you're the only one that's written anything.
Yeah, no, I think that gives you time to both think, or in Sam's case, just blurt stuff out impulsively as it comes about one of the channels, as she calls it. So I do like this idea, this separation between unconscious and conscious, and I don't like the fact that they have separate names. So I'm going to kind of combine the two. I think I have much more issues with the cognitive shifting, with the, I know I've got to do this shift. So for example, if a phone rings while I'm doing something, that is cognitive because I have to make the decision consciously to, I'll stop this, I will pick up that phone. And when you look at it in that context, then hello, you know, if I'm doing something that's rewarding, even if it's kind of maladaptively rewarding, I can't do the stopping bit. So for example, and this has happened so often, I'm looking for my glasses because I've lost them and the other pair of glasses are in front of me and I'm doing a task. Stopping looking for these glasses is really hard. I know I don't need to. I know it's not important. I know I need to switch to the task by using the other glasses, but the stopping bit is really, really difficult. It's the same with, you know, playing games on my phone. I think I'm now to nearly level 14,000 on Wordscapes. And I've had quite a few people begrudgingly and ironically thanking me for mentioning that game because now they're hooked on it. and that farm one over Christmas was just fucking ludicrous. So stopping is really hard, Ding. Redirecting, once I've stopped, I think I'm okay at, in theory. But after my brain kind of says no to that third step, starting, then I end up in this kind of hinterland or this, you know, nowhere area where I've stopped and I'm now just sitting there not doing anything because the starting is hard as well. So for me, the redirect, once you finally stop, right, now I've got to do this, that's okay, prepare, get ready for it, and then, yeah, I need to start. And then once I'm started, I normally can focus without going back, but stopping and the starting are hardest. The other thing that's really important, and this is something I am on, I have been for the last year, this kind of self-reflection journey as a dick of a host who is obviously really mean. I need to be more patient with Mrs. ADHD. I did see that hand, Alex. No, I'm not meant to point it out. It's just your screen was covered up, so I can't see your face. I need to be more patient with Mrs. ADHD because, as she'll probably talk about in her reflections, the stopping is definitely the hardest bit for her. And I can get frustrated when I have to go up four or five times to say, I'm making the tea. So half an hour, she'll say, yep. And then I know, you know, I'll go up again and say, it's nearly done now. Yep. Okay. And then when it's done, I'll shout up the stairs and she'll say, yep, coming. And then 10 minutes later, I'll shout up again. And then she'll finally come down and I get quite ratty. I can feel like, come on, I'm putting this effort in. Or if I go in and try and get her ready for pole and say, right, you've got pole in 45 minutes. Yep, ding, good one. Get ready. You need to get dressed into your pole gear. Stop what in. She'll say, yeah, okay, I will. And then there's always, always this mad panic with 10 minutes to go. I'm late. I haven't got ready because she can't stop. And I maybe need to be more patient with her.
James, do you get the impression that is something we learn, but we're not actually listening or saying it. We kind of learn it as a response because I've noticed it in myself and other. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we learn it because we're so ashamed growing up of always not listening properly. So we come up with a burst out word that doesn't mean anything.
It's probably a knee jerk thing. You're not really listening. You're not because that's an unconscious task switch. I'm doing a thing. Someone's talking to me. All of a sudden, I've got to stop and really engage what that person's saying and actively listen to them. Whereas actually, if you're engrossed in a task and you just know it's noise, I know. And then, you know, combine that with poor working memory because you forget you've just been told there's something else to do and distractibility. And it just creates this, it's interesting that it's not talked about more because I think it's often harder, Ding, than the allocating attention. Sometimes when you are paying attention to something and particularly when you're in flow, but you know you've got to do something else, it's a fucking shit to get out of it and start doing that thing. That's me. What about you, Sam? This could be interesting.
Yeah, this is probably one of my main ones, but I don't know actually because I'm not good. And I feel bad because actually it really helps me when you keep reminding me that I've, because it almost, I struggle with change anyway and task switching. So it really helps that you keep giving me reminders. Because I'm almost adjusting my brain a little bit every time. But I feel bad because I know that you feel like a nagging, like you're nagging me constantly coming in and going, remember, you've got to do this, Sam. Right? You've only got 10 minutes and you've got to go, Sam. And I feel bad that I almost force you into playing that role. So yeah, I'm sorry about that, but it is really helpful for me, as much as I'm like, yes, okay, I know I've got to go in 10 minutes, leave me alone, and snap at you. I'm sorry. But yeah, this is and actually what you were saying was all everything you said. I was like, oh my God, yes, I really struggle to stop the task. That is the main thing for me. And then I get caught in that hinterland as well. When you were saying that, then it's because I feel like my brain is still processing the fact that I can't do that thing anymore. And it's going, but I don't want to do something else. I want to do that thing. So then I sit there just going, I can't do anything now. And it's really difficult.
Sorry, that was out loud, was it? My bad. Task paralysis. I was just thinking about how accurate that is for me as well.
Yeah, it's a really, really big one for me. And I I was thinking that as well. Yeah, I really struggle. And I have got things that I do, which I'll talk about next, but they don't work that great for me. And I'm really good at just without knowing, flitting from task to task and going, but if I know I've got to move on and do something else, that is the hardest thing. But everything you said, to be honest, James, you ruined it for me.
Yeah, ruined it.
Ding.
That's a self-loathing ding.
She just says it often, so I thought I may as well throw it out there. Ding.
What about you, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Really. I often think that the core symptoms of ADHD, of which this is one really, isn't it, inattention, are really frustrating, but they're not the worst parts of ADHD, which for me is emotional side and RSD. However, before I was treated effectively with both therapy and self-education, coaching and meds, the shame and guilt of not being able to do any task without something in my brain going, do something else, do something else, always, all the time, I think led to an anxiety disorder, literally, and a sort of form of depression, anxiety disorder of living with ADHD. And when I got support and treatment, and you're never cured, you know, I'm an absolute hot fucking mess, but I'm a lot better than I was. And I think the meds are a really good part of that, but they mean that I don't get as distracted. I can, if I choose to focus and I'm interested in it, I can achieve things. I can work for an hour or two on something, which has never happened to me in my life until I started getting treatment for ADHD. Sometimes to the point where it's a bit scary. Like, I don't lay down memories because I'm not emotionally affected by other things like I used to be. It's one constant insult to life with ADHD, and suddenly it isn't. And that took away the anxiety because I can get a few things done. And that showed me really that actually it was quite a big thing for me, the problem with task switching. It still is a problem. And time blindness makes it worse. Are you like this as well? Last night, I had to do a course at 7 p.m., which was wonderful. And from about 10 a.m., which is 9 hours before, I've got other things, I've got clients, I've got things to do. My brain's going, is it now? Have you got to do it now? Is it now? Oh, I bet you're feeling all excited because there's going to be hundreds of people. Is it now? And I'm like, no, it's not now. Just set a timer or something. But it's really hard to do that ending. And so I get distracted with anything in the relatively near future. And I mean, up to about tomorrow afternoon, if it's something exciting before then, I can't do anything.
Or something you dread.
Yeah. Or both.
I had a meeting yesterday I was dreading in the afternoon, and I was a fucking mess I just couldn't get anything done.
Yes. Yeah. And was it anywhere near as bad as you were dreading?
No, it's fine.
It's always fucking like that.
Always is, isn't it?
And so no time for a game. That was my thoughts on test switching, but we switch.
You're talking to Podcast Daddy, and Podcast Daddy controls what happens in the podcast. So there is time for a game.
I'm not sure I like Podcast Daddy, but I think I might do. Maybe a bit this, too.
This is related to an activity that lots of people have been asking about, and that's me playing the guitar. Because I've started doing it again, but obviously I've got everything fucking wrong. So when I decided to, you know, lay down a track, I didn't, because it's just awful. I got it wrong. So three options as usual, Alex. And I believe at the minute it's 6-4 for this series. So option one, did I lose the tuner? So I can't tune any of my guitars and play them properly. Option two, did I lose both the plugs, one for the amp and one for the effects pedal board that plugs into the amp, so I can't turn them on? Or number three, have I lost all, probably 50 or 60 of my plectrums?
Right. It's definitely not plectrums because you use your big long Dracula nails. I'm certain of that.
Good.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's the only Dracula joke I've got. I don't think it's your tuner because you use Sam's dolphin-like screeching, I think, to tune the guitar. So I think it's plugs. You've lost both plugs.
Bastard.
Sam's screeching like a dolphin.
Both plugs. Both plugs. And obviously, well, you can't see because there's a green screen. There's two acoustic guitars behind me. Could have played those, but no, because that, again, hyper focus on where's the plug and then spending an hour fucking looking for the plugs.
Just to ask, James, when you do practice the guitar, it is a task switch. What do you do to stop what you're doing and pick up the guitar and start? What do you do mentally?
I have to have, it has to either just come when I'm not doing anything and I've got the, if you like, the motivation to do it, or I have to make sure that it's at a time when I am more able. So in the morning, I'm more able to do most things.
Yeah, me too.
Ding.
You don't like in my to-do list, it literally says every day play two songs on the piano only.
Yeah,
like it takes about 7 minutes, and if it isn't there, I will never ever practice anything. I won't do it. I won't even rest if it's not in my fucking diary. Because
we've chatted about anyway. No, we'll talk about this on the time because this is going on forever. I'm really annoyed. It's 7-4. I genuinely thought you wouldn't get that one, but again, it proves that the game's real. We'll take another break in rabbit ears and we'll be back in part three for our tips. See you in a bit.
Bye.
No.
Yeah.
Welcome back to episode 152 of the ADHD Adults Podcast. We are talking about ADHD and task switching, which is changing from one task to another with your brain box. As always in part three, it's just the tip, top tips, spunk trumpeting, whatever you want to call it. Right then, I'm going to start with James. James, what are your top tips for task switching?
I've only got one tip, Alex.
Hey!
Ding! Yeah. I'm going for a record number of dings, I think, this episode.
Also a ding?
Maybe, I don't know, possible, meta thing. Obviously, we all three of us have got ADHD. We've got all of the things, and therefore task switching is difficult. It's hard to give someone my tip without them realizing it comes from a place of somewhat inauthenticity. But there is one thing that can help.
Wow. And long ding.
And that is move. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but move, get up from your chair. If you want to, if it's a conscious task switch and you're struggling, it's like, I've got to stop this and I've got to do that. Get up and move because immediately you're breaking the connection with the task that you want to stop. It doesn't mean you won't immediately return to it, but it means it's more likely that you can do the stop pass. Get up and move. If you're sat on the sofa doing something, if you sat at your desk, just get up and physically move about, because you can have all the reminders in the world. You can have, you know, your phone going off, the calendar going off, that is all just invisible. But just by standing up, if you can, or making physical movement, you can break that connection, which makes the first part, the stop, easier. And that's about all I've got. I'm going to go to Alex next.
Right. I mean, I have loads, but I won't do them all because we all get bored with my voice. One of them is plan a task, plan everything if you can. And I know that's use a planner, which is the worst advice ever. But like play the piano, those sorts of things. If you don't like do this at 9:13, because that's restrictive for you, don't add a time. But if you do, you've got to try things, try to use that. And what I absolutely have to do is, if I'm sat there, that thing of move, James, is absolutely vital for me as well. But I can't have an alarm for when I've got to do the thing. I can't have an alarm for when I'm finishing. I can only have, I have to set an alarm for the exact second I have to stand up and move to get ready to leave. Because if there's 12 seconds after an alarm goes and I'm still able to sit there, the all memory of that's gone. So I have what's an exit alarm for that.
I think in all the things we've talked about in most episodes, what almost always compounds it is time blindness and working memory. Yeah. If it's focusing on something, switching a task, all of the things, procrastination, prioritization, all the things that we try and do, those two little fuckers will always complicate it. Because if you don't do it immediately, which is difficult, A, you'll probably forget that you were meant to do it. And then B, that the time blindness, the amount of time that's passed between theoretically when you were meant to do something and when you do it, then can be, well, it's completely difficult for us to estimate and perceive.
It really, that's it, exactly. I would also add to remember a rest is a task. Mm. And so to switch to task rest to resting takes energy and it's okay. And if you take it off or whatever it is you do for your little dopamine boost, make rests tasks, that's vital. And the other one is if you have someone who supports you. So when you were talking about Sam, I was thinking, Sam saying it helps. That's what you need to do, right? So you knowing, James, that Sam does want you to do that, even if she's like, oh, yeah, I know, and like not doing it. It helps, doesn't it? That's what you need. You need that communication of, I know I'm a dick, but it does help when you do that. Sorry. That it's a lovely thing to say, and it's really, really important to communicate that, because we're not normal or muggles, or we are outside of normal parameters mentally. Mm. So this isn't heteronormative. It's a behavior which is arguably a disorder, not being able to task switch. And so if we gaslight people into thinking it's normal that we can't do it, it could be counterproductive in relationships. And so we say, yeah, I do need more support with that. It's okay to ask for help. You know, we're all different. And if you are looking for help with it, with an employer, with a partner, just ask yourself this question. What would actually help you to stop? Sam, just can we do that? Like when you have to go to poll and James says, right, you have to get ready now. And assuming you don't want to be rushing around late, what actually would help you stop what you're doing and doing it? Or is there nothing at all?
Oh, yeah. No, I have strategies. I have things.
But what would help? So when James comes up and says, oh, you've got to get ready, and you go, oh, yeah, but you're not actually saying yes, are you? It's sort of one of those reactions. What would help? So Lisa and I have a word. She says, are you receptive to listening to me now? She literally asks that. And I can't just go, yeah, because I have to answer it meaningfully. That's what works for us. I don't know why. Is there anything that would help you, you know?
I am listening when he says it to me, and I'm already aware because there is an alarm that goes off on my calendar to tell me it's half an hour till you've got to be at poll, so you've got to get ready. So I see that come up, and James is also reminding me. So it's all good because it's preparing my mind for the fact that you're going to have to stop soon. So then I'm trying to wind it down. So it does all help, and it means yeah, it does really help having these constant things that are coming through, as long as I'm not really engaged. And I have you finished your ones?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, right. Question.
Both of the things that you both said really helpful things that I do all the time. So planning my day, I have to think about, first of all, I think about my week, but then I think about my day and what tasks I've got to do. And I will put blocks in my diary of how long that task is going to be, so that then I know a little thing comes up. So I set it to tell me like 15 minutes before, right, you're going to have to stop this task in 15 minutes and move to the other one. And what I do is, so when James was saying about getting up, I will often break up my tasks with either a bit of exercise snacking, which was something I learned from James when he did that TV program. So it's just, I just do 5 minutes, but they're 5 1-minute exercises just at my desk or next to my desk, because then it completely takes me out of my last task and then I can start a new one. Or I'll give myself a little side quest that gives me a bump of dopamine because I'm excited about doing it, which means that I will want to stop this task. And then I'll do that little side quest. It's got to be something short, like 10 minutes, set a timer,
like,
and then come back and carry on. Like put up a picture on my wall. Like, there's loads of things that I love doing that are just really, really quick that I can do.
Do you have them written down? Because I'd forget what I had to do.
Oh, yes. I've got all my side quests there on another list.
Oh, nice.
So I've got my master task list. I've got my side quest list. So
side
I can
quest list.
Yeah, so I could take some from the master task list at the side quest and put them in my to-do list for the day and then plan them out for the day. Another thing is kind of setting timers. I have to do, because obviously I struggle to task switch. But yeah, all of this kind of helps me to, and James obviously telling me that I've got to get ready. And things like, so if I've got to go to pole or to my jewellery class, everything for pole or for my jewellery class or whatever, it's all in a bag, ready. I have to be wearing the clothes that I've got to go. And then
it's all in a bag ready, but where's the bag is often the question, isn't it, Sam?
Well, my pole bag I keep in the same place all the time.
And you have separate bags for pole and for other sports. Yes. I do as well. The idea of having one bag for all sports is laughable, right?
So I've got multiples of the things I need, but they're in each bag. So I've got a little go bag for each activity.
Brilliant tip.
Otherwise, I can't kind of do that. So I know that I can just go. All I've got to do is stop this task and go.
James, sorry. Sam just said the opposite of me, and I think that is what shows we're all different. What about, so Sam said she needs 15 minutes before she likes to be prepared with, but it kills me, the idea of that.
But remember, because Sam's ADHD, she has to process the change. So I have to go in and literally sometimes say change is coming or change alarm. I just want you to think about this for a bit, but this is going to happen at some point today, and she'll look like the startled deer and nod. We have very odd non-verbal communication. When I go into Sam's office to tell her that she's got to stop doing, I am like a meek little kind of 17th century servant going up to a really angry feudal lord saying, I'm so sorry, Sam, but you're going to have to go to pot. I'm sorry, in polling in 30 minutes because her face is furious. Terrible. Yeah, if you like that.
I don't know what that is. I think it's the little rat. So I don't, when I task switch, I don't have any emotion. I'm not bothered. I like changing tasks because I'm not ADHD. No, I don't. What about you, James? Which are you?
I think it depends whether it's a person, if it's a personal thing, like I say, that the hyper focusing on something that I know I don't need and I should be doing something else, a lot of negative emotion. I will walk around the house saying, you stupid fat cunt, where have you put that? How can you fucking lose that, you thick twat? I'm like out loud berating myself. And then when I finally realize if I can't find the thing or can't stop doing the thing that's getting in the way of the activity I'm meant to do, then there's the self-loathing of, well, you could have just stopped. So for me, there's a lot of negative emotion related with it.
Internalized stigma when you know biologically that isn't correct and you couldn't have done it.
And that actually is a big one for me as well, what you were saying, James, about that you know that there is an alternative that you could do very easily. But this very one, so you're looking for something and I've got duplicates of everything everywhere, but I want this one specific thing because I want to know where it is and what happened to it, even though it doesn't matter. And really hard.
The sort of sick feeling of just abandoning it and not getting that reward is it makes you feel vomitous, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's awful.
Wow.
Anyway, I think that brings us to a nice vomitous close. That was episode 152 of the ADHD Adults Podcast, where we talked about ADHD and task switching. If you enjoyed my dick, then why not get in touch via the... Well, it's the best I could do without thinking about it. My being a dick would be better. Then get in touch via the website at theadhdadults.uk, where you can also find details of the extra content on Patreon and some merch. We've got new merch coming out. We've now got a Defect of Moral Control pen, which you can buy. You can't because I haven't put it on the website yet. And more stuff coming out. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, all. Trigger warning, klaxon. Klaxon, klaxon. Klaxon, klaxon. Big klaxon. Trigger warning, klaxon. Klaxon, klaxon. Klaxon, klaxon.